Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. Isaiah 63, page 767 in your Schofield Reference Bible. I'll be reading responsively the first six verses. Verses 1 through 6 of Isaiah 63, page 767. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, in thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and with the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. And let's pray. And Father, it's so good to be here. When we think of all the places that we might could be if we were not saved and we did not love thee. And when we think of this place, we have to say thank you for saving us, and thank you for leading us to this place, and thank you for the joy and the blessing that we feel when we're here. Pray for thy help now in a very special way. Meet with us in power and in blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, thou hast brought us here now again, and thy servant stands to speak. But he's not able to speak in power without your help. This is flesh behind this pulpit tonight. This is just but a little dust behind the pulpit tonight. A frail creature of dust and feeble as frail. But in thy mercy thou hast chosen to fill people like us and creatures like us if we meet thy condition. And I pray tonight you'd fill this preacher as he speaks, and these hearers as they listen, in a special, sweet, powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah looks toward the regions of the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. As he gazes toward those regions, suddenly a stranger comes from the country of Edom. Now the Edomites were the descendants of Esau, the fleshly brother of Jacob. And this stranger, as Isaiah is gazing toward the country of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River down close to Sodom and Gomorrah, he sees coming out of Edom a stranger. This stranger is regal in his appearance. Royalty is stamped on his garments. His head is proud and high, and on his garments are traces of blood. Isaiah asks the question, who is he that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, which was the capital of Edom? The answer comes back, I that speak in righteousness am mighty to save. I have trodden the winepress alone, and there was none with me. Now, I want you to get the picture, please. Get the picture. Here's Isaiah
looking down toward the land of Edom, and he suddenly sees this regal, majestic creature coming with his garments spotted with blood. And Isaiah said, "Who are you?" And he says, "I that speak in righteousness." First he said, "I'm the one that speaks." Are you listening, sailors? "I'm the one that speaks in righteousness." Secondly, he says, "I'm mighty to save." Thirdly, he says, "I have trodden the winepress alone." And fourthly, he says, "There was none with me." Now, what does all this mean? What could this mean? This royal, regal-looking creature coming from the wicked land of Edom. And I could not tell you, and I'll try tonight, but I could not begin to tell you how much the Edomites hated the people of God. And from that land comes this creature of power and strength who says he's mighty to save. He speaks in righteousness. He's trodden the winepress alone, and there was none with him. Now, to understand what this means, we must look at Edom. Edom was the bitterest of all of the enemies of Israel. She was between the Israelites and the Promised Land as they came on their journey from Egypt. And they struggled through Edom. Edom tried to prevent the Israelites from getting to the Promised Land. And they struggled through Edom to get to the land of promise. Now then, their Israelites are in the land of promise. And the Edomites have been defeated as far as their effort to prevent the Israelites from getting inside the land. But they're not through. They're still fighting. They're always at the border. I mean, that border between Edom and Judea, they're always there as enemies. The moment a Jew stepped across that border, the Edomites were on him. I don't know about you, but if I'd been an Edomite, I wouldn't have gotten close to the border. I'd have stayed snugly in the center of the land. I would have nestled myself in Jerusalem and not been hanging around the border of the land. I speak tonight on the subject, stay away from the border. If I didn't want to become an alcoholic, I wouldn't hang around the social drinkers. I'd stay away from the border. If I didn't want to be captured by the Edomites, I wouldn't hang around the border. If I didn't want to become an addict, I wouldn't run with the folks that smoke pot, or nicotine for that matter. I wouldn't do it. I mean, if you don't want to get captured by the Edomites, don't hang around the border. If I didn't want to marry the wrong person, I wouldn't go with the wrong girl. If I didn't want to marry the wrong fellow, I wouldn't go with the wrong boy. If I didn't want to marry the wrong person, I wouldn't run around with the wrong crowd. I wouldn't hang around the border. And what happened is this. All the time, look at me, all the time, these Edomites were lurking at the border, trying to find some Jew that had just crossed over a little bit, that they might capture him and hold him hostage and cause him all kinds of heartache. If I didn't want to commit adultery, I wouldn't go to Lover's Lane. You see, I get a little tired of people saying, "Well, what's wrong with this? Your rules are too strict at the college. Your rules are too strict at the high school. We're trying to keep you from the border." We're not trying to keep you from Edom. We're trying to keep you from the border. If you don't get close to the border, you won't get to Edom. You're not going to hang around the border on Lover's Lane, not someday end up in the Edom of adultery. You're not going to hang around the border of the wrong crowd without someday being a part of the wrong crowd. You're not going to hang around the border the drinking crowd without one of the social drinkers without one of these days being in Edom as an alcoholic. You're not going to hang around the crowd, the border of the nicotine and the pot crowd without someday being captured. Now you listen to me. There's more to Christianity than what's right with this and what's wrong with this. Not only are you supposed to do not to do that which is wrong, but you're not supposed to get around the border of that which is wrong. I wonder how many Jews had gotten captured who never intended to go to Edom. They didn't like Edom. They hated Edom. They didn't have any plans to go to Edom. They were afraid of Edom. But they just hung around the border. Listen, you hang around the border, you'll end up getting captured. That's one reason why at the hair standards of Hiles Anderson College and Emma Baptist High School, there's a distance between the borderline and our standards. We don't want you getting close to the border. There's a difference between our rules about the behavior toward the opposite sex and the borderline. I don't care who you are. If you're a young man, got red blood running through your veins, you're not going to go Lover's Lane and park and neck and pet and kiss and play around the border without one of these days getting captured and eat them. Not a single girl ever comes to me and said, Brother Hiles, I'm pregnant. I'm not married, but I'm pregnant. I planned it that way. I wanted to get pregnant, so I got with this fellow and I said, let's go to Lover's Lane. I want to get pregnant. No, every one of them stood around the border too much. That's all. That's all. Now you listen to me. You may call us old-fashioned, fanatical, call us whatever you want to call us, but brother, if you don't get close to the border, you won't get captured by the Edomites. You just won't do it. Now, if an animal wandered over the border or too close to the border, or an animal wandered to the border, that animal was seized by the Edomites. If the Israelites left a portion of that border unguarded, the Edomites would come over and play havoc with the people in the land. If a Jewish field was exceptionally green and the crop was exceptionally prosperous, the Edomites would come over the border and do what they could to steal what they could from the crop. There was a constant dread and a constant strain on the Israelites because they realized that that enemy was at the border all the time. It was not just a battle that would someday end. It was a lifelong battle. All the time it was there. All the time they had to guard the border. All the time they had to be careful not to get too close to the border. All the time they had to be careful to keep their animals from getting close to the border. Because there was that enemy. When the Jews came from, as I said a while ago, from the land of Egypt to the promised land, the struggle was unbelievable. God had said to Moses, said, you go and you tell the Edomite leaders that let you go on the highway. And he said, as you go on the highway, now follow me carefully, he said, let you go on the highway, the main highway through Edom. And you tell the Edomite leaders that you will not buy in their stores. You will not turn to the right or the left. You'll stay on the highway as you go through. But these Edomites said, we'll not let you through. But God led them through a struggle through Edom. Now, I'll tell you something. Brother, when you get saved, the battle's not over. It's not over. The battle never ends. There's no discharge from this war. None. As long as you live, Edom is right there. As long as you live, the evil one and your besetting sins and the tempter and the temptress is on the border. If you've got any sense at all, you listen to an old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone, hell-raising, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling preacher who says not only is it wrong to go to Edom, but it's stupid to get on the border. Look out, purity. Impurity is at your border. Not only should you stay pure from adultery, you should stay pure from what leads to adultery. Not only should you abstain from the act itself, but pictures that tempt you to the act, and magazines that tempt you to the act, and the soap operas that tempt you to the act, and the primetime television programs that tempt you to the act, and the film. Listen, some of you men tonight, I'm talking about deacons in this church. I'm talking about choir members in this church. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers in this church. Some of you plop down in front of that box every night, and whatever garbage is poured into the minds of your children, you just let that garbage be poured. I want to tell you something. every man in this church. I don't care if you're on the staff. I don't care if you're a teacher. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care who you are. You are going to answer to God for what your kids watch on that box in your house. Now you are. You let your kids, you wonder, oh, why didn't she go bad? Because she's hanging around Edom. You invited the Edomites to take off their clothes in your living room. You invite the Edomites to go to bed with each other in your living room. You invite fornication and filth and garbage in your living room. Let me tell you something. Brother, this nation needs a generation of old-fashioned men of God who not only preach against sin, but preach against roads that lead to sin. Who not only preach against Edom, but preach against hanging around the borders of Edom. An old-fashioned generation of preachers. I'm talking about preaching against mixed bathing. I'm talking about preaching against women wearing shorts in public. I'm talking about preaching against women running around here like you poured into a pair of britches, melted and poured into a pair of britches. I'm talking about decency. I'm talking about chastity. I'm talking about integrity. I'm talking about honor. Our fundamental churches are dying because our people are hanging around Edom's border. You go ahead, but you're going to be captured. And I'm not kidding, and I'm not joking right now. I'm telling you, it's time that God's people decided to get away from the border. Look out, humility. Pride is at your border. Look out, love. Hatred is at your border. Look out, unselfishness. Selfishness is at your border. Look out, honesty. Deceit is at your border. Look out, courage. Fear is at your border. Look out, meekness. Temper is at your border. Look out, forgiveness. Vengeance is at your border. Look out, pure mind. Evil thoughts are at your border. Look out, peace. War is at your border. And I'll tell you something. The devil is not coming up to our young folks tonight, our better young people, or adults too for that matter. And by the way, our big problem is an adult problem. Would you tell me why? Now, I may make somebody mad tonight if my plans succeed. Would you tell me why we can take some young people away from their homes and put them in the dormitory at Howells Anderson College and make them love decency? And take that same young person and send him home and he's not half the... Listen, I'll guarantee you, our homes need a revolution about that box. And there are folks in this room tonight who need to get on your... I'm talking about important people in this church. I'm talking about, I don't care who you are, from the bottom to top, there are folks that tonight ought to get on your knees at this altar and ask the God of glory to forgive you for bringing those video movies in your house and playing them on your television set. Brother, if it's wrong to go to one, it's wrong to bring one home. In fact, I've got more respect for the folks that go to them. You're not hiding it. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with dads in this place? What's wrong with moms in this place? Give us some red-blooded men again who say, this is what we'll do. And this is what we won't do. No, your little girl's not going to go around not wear shorts if you let her see a bunch of beautiful women in shorts on that box. She's not going to do it. She's going to see those attractive personalities on that box running around in shorts and running around mixed bathing and hanging around bathing pools and beaches. She's going to see that, and she's going to want to do that, and you are going to answer to God for it. Talking about you that call yourself men. Why don't you get your pants and trade them in for a skirt? Paul said, he said, I don't like your preaching. I don't like your living much either. And brother, before I'll dip my sails and not preach against the worldliness of this generation in our fundamental churches, I'll get me a box and preach across the street on the corner. I'll get me a vacant lot. I'll do it. But it's time. Listen. You know who ought to walk the aisle tonight and get on your knees and pray? Some of you dads that let that stuff go on in your household. Young people come to me by the droves. Teenagers tell me by the droves that they are allowed to sit in front of that box unrestrained at night. I don't care who you are, you are not going to sit there and watch the dirty filth and rot and septic tank that pours out of Hollywood and rear the right kind of kids or be the right kind of person yourself. Hollywood's as rotten as the devil. I said Hollywood's as rotten as the devil. I said Hollywood's as rotten as the devil. I said Hollywood's as rotten as the devil. He said, I'm going to go join another church. You'll find a lot of little sissy pussyfoot, near tickling, back scratching, penny pinching, nickel nipping, soft soaping, and think to eliminate pussyfooters around here that wear lace on their pajamas. You'll find a lot of them. You won't have any trouble. What you better do is set up and thank God for somebody trying to help you to stay away from the border of Edom. Our kids are hanging around the border. No wonder we're captured by the Edomites. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is there. It's always there. When you would be humble, pride is at the border. Don't get close to it. When you would love, hatred is at the border. Don't get close to hatred. When you would be unselfish, selfish is at the border. Don't get close to it. You'd be honest. Deceit is at the border. Don't get close to it. When you would have courage, fear is right at the border. Don't get close to it. Meekness is there. Temper is at the border when you have meekness. Vengeance when you have forgiveness. Evil thoughts when you have pure mind. By the way, these Edomites were always there. Always there. I wish tonight I could tell you that the battle would end. I mean that. I wish I could tell you tonight that there'll be a day when the Edomites won't be at the border. But that day won't come. It won't come. When I was a young man, or youngster, just a kid, I thought when I got the battle fought, and grew up, I fought the battle in high school. Didn't have any Christian schools when I was a kid. By the way, public schools are in better shape than most of the Christian schools are now. I'm not saying the public schools now are in better shape. They're rotten as the devil, and your kids shouldn't go to them. But I want to say that the public schools in those days were in better shape than many Christian schools are in these days. I remember when I had to stand alone in the battle. I remember when I used to be glad when I grow up so I wanted to stand by myself. I had to sit during dancing class in the gymnasium. I had to sit by myself in the bleachers while the others did their dances. And I wished that sometime, somehow, the battle would not have to rage anymore. And I wished that somehow the Edomites would not be there when I got older. And then I went to the army, and I found the Edomites were there also. I remember that day when I got off a bus in Birmingham, Alabama, as a paratrooper. Beautiful female stood right there at the bottom of the bus steps. She looked at me, and I had my paratroop insignia on, my wings on here, and the wings on my cap. And that female looked at me, and she said, "Trooper, I've got the room all ready and paid for. It won't cost you a dime. You just come with me." There were the Edomites, always at the border. I remember when I pitched, it was the pitcher on the 7th Army softball team. I remember how we won the championship. And how we had the celebration. They did. I did not know it, but they brought the liquor. They got me down and tried to open my jaws and force liquor down my throat. Not one drop of it ever got inside my mouth, thank God. I used to wonder when the battle would be over. Will the day ever come when the battle is over? I got out of army paratroopers and went to a Christian college. And I thought, boy, now then, I got it made. Now I've got it made. The battle's over. But no, the battle's not over. We got some Edomites enrolled in Hiles Anderson College. We don't know who they are. We need to find out who they are. Then we send them to the University of Indiana. We don't know who they are. But there's some Edomites there. There's some young males. They're going to try to put their hands on the temple of the Holy Spirit of you young ladies. And I want to tell you, Hiles Anderson students, this. If you're going to go out of here as soon as you graduate and not practice or believe a thing you've done while you're here, go on home now. We're trying to keep you from being captured by the Edomites. We're trying to say, hey, kids, don't get close to the border. But we got a few macho stupid, macho ignorant, macho dumb guys at Hiles Anderson College just waiting to get their hands on your purity. I remember my sister used to have to practice defending herself. No problem now. She has no need to worry about that. My mother used to say, I can see my mother now, early as a teenager. Abraham Lincoln was president. I can see my mother now. She said, Earlene, she said, if he ever tries to put his arm around you and kiss you, she said, this is what you do. And she'd take off that high-heeled shoe and she'd say, you hold it with a heel. Let me tell you something, brother. When the atomic bomb is not any more powerful than a heel of a shoe, you get chased by one of those things. My sister, I never have been, but I think I said the wrong thing there. I'm preaching tonight on the love of God. But my mama used to say, grab the toe of that shoe, turn the heel down, beat the stuffings out of him. We got some Edomites. We got some Edomite machos at Hammond Baptist High School. Macho, macho, macho. You haven't got enough strength, as I said last Sunday night, to resist. You haven't got enough strength to restrain. I'm simply saying, not only, young people, don't you get in Edom, but don't you get close to Edom. Don't you even fellowship with the Edomites. And then the Christian college, I thought for sure, battle be over. But it wasn't. Battle still raging. I became pastor of a small church. I thought the battle would be over. Certainly all people love preachers. And I thought the battle would be over. But the battle wasn't over. I'll be quite frank with you. Sometimes, and I hate to even admit this, but I'm 60 years old. I've been in the battle a long time. And brother, you check my sermons I preached 40 years ago, and it'll be just about like the one I preach tonight. You check them out, I guarantee you. I know, because I listen to them. I'm not going to change. I don't plan to change. You got any hopes for me changing? You just quit hoping. I don't plan to change. I love you too much to let you hang around the borders of Eden without warning. I love you Hammond Baptist High School students too much without warning you don't hang around the borders of Edom. I love you Hiles Anderson College young'uns too much without warning you don't get around the borders of Edom. You go to some of these so-called Christian college campuses and they're laying around the campus with their shorts on. Boys and girls laying around in wrong positions with temptation. I sometimes, and I hate to say it, but I sometimes would like to have an honorable discharge. I sometimes wish that sometime in life would come when there's no battle. But I find Ecclesiastes 8:8 says there's no discharge from this war. No discharge from this war. Old Dr. John kept his shield up and his sword drawn till he was in heaven. Old Dr. Bob Jones kept his saber drawn and had it glistening ready for the battle until he went to heaven. Brother Lester Olaf kept his carrot juicer drawn till he got to heaven. I mean, they just kept on, and they just kept on. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, where others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No. I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain. There's a time for rest. It's not yet. There's a time for R&R, but it's not yet. Now's the time for God's leaders to say to a generation of young people, don't get close to the border. Edomites are after you. I wish I could tell you that the battle would end, but it won't. I wish I could tell you that the battle would have a break occasionally, but it won't. How can you win the battle? How can you defeat that mighty, savage, beastly army at the border of Israel? Those wild Edomites, wild like animals. The Jews were no match for them. How can you defeat them? Who are you? You, coming from Bozrah. Who are you? Who are you? Dressed in garments sprinkled with blood. Who are you? With that royal stare on your face and that regal walk. Who are you? Who are you? Coming, standing erect, straight, like a conquering king. Who are you? I'm the one who defeated Edom. I speak righteousness. I am the one who is mighty to save. Who are you? I am the one who trodden the winepress alone. Where are you coming from? I've come from Edom. What have you been doing there? I've been defeating them for you. I've been paying the price. I am mighty to save. Now in the first place, he says he's mighty to save. That means he's the only one that can save. He's the only one can save you from Edom. Baptism can't save you from Edom. Church joining can't save you from Edom. Good works can't save you from Edom. Confession can't save you from Edom. Confirmation can't save you from Edom. Holy Eucharist can't save you from Edom. The sacraments can't save you from Edom. Joining the church can't save you from Edom. Only he whose vesture is dipped in his own blood, who went to Edom and stood there as the conquering king, only he can save you from Edom. And he only can do it by his blood. Fooey on these people making light of the blood of Jesus. Fooey on these people that say you're saved by the death of Jesus, but the blood wasn't necessary. Fooey on that kind of garbage. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, you say, I don't think he meant what he said. Well, then have him say what he means then. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That blood sprinkled out there, that blood shed out there on that altar is not all that's necessary. That blood has got to get in there on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. That high priest has to take that blood shed out there on that brazen altar. He has to take that blood in a basin, and he has to walk inside the holy place where there's the golden candlestick on the left and the table of showbread on the right and the altar of incense before you, and that mighty veil between that altar of incense and the Holy of Holies, where was the Ark of the Covenant on which there was a mercy seat, over which the cherubim beaten with gold, golden cherubim, spread their wings. And he had to walk inside there and he had to sprinkle his blood. And I want to tell you something, folks. You've not been washed in the blood, you'll never go to heaven. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Christmas Evans lay dying. The old man of God, who had blazed many a trail, fought many a battle, had many a battle scar on his body, his soul, many a wound in the battle for God. The old man lay dying. Around him gathered some young preacher boys. And they said, "Mr. Evans, before you die, give us a word of advice." The old man raised himself up on his arms for the last time in this world, looked to the young preacher boys and said, "Young men, preach the blood in the basin. Preach the blood in the basin. Preach the blood in the basin. Who can save you from the Edomites? He who comes with blood upon his garments." Then, by the way, he said, "I have trodden the winepress." It's exactly what happened at Calvary. Jesus bought the victory for you over the Edomites. Now, that doesn't mean you'll have it. It means you have it available to you. You know what? We don't do enough. We don't claim the blood enough. Sometimes I think the old Pentecostals had a few things we ought to borrow. Not many, but a few. Claim the blood. Claim the blood. And then it says, "Who are you?" "I'm he that speaks righteousness. I'm he who is mighty to save. I'm he who did tread the winepress." And then he said, "I did it alone." Jesus didn't win the victory for you with anybody. He did it by himself. And only he could do it. You don't win the victory over the Edomites by Jesus plus the baptistry. It's alone, Jesus alone. You don't win the victory over the Edomites by Jesus plus the communion table. It's Jesus alone. And he alone can give you the victory. It's been a long time since that night when I hobbled down the aisle, a little introverted teenage lad, and shocked the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas when I surrendered my little life to preach the gospel. Nobody had ever taken me very seriously. Most of the folks couldn't believe little Jackie Boy Hiles would ever be a preacher. Many a battle has been fought. And if scars on the soul could be seen, I've seen a few scars in these years. Many a battle's been fought since that first night when I tried to preach my first sermon. Stuttered and stammered for 3 minutes and sat down in tears and total failure. The deacon chairman got up and said, "Folks, I'm sorry, but I thought he was a preacher. Our pastor's gone. I know nothing to do but dismiss the service." It's been a long time. Nearly 44,000 sermons ago. It's been a long time since I stood at the Friendship Baptist Church 10 miles south of Marshall, Texas and preached my first sermon on a Sunday morning in a Baptist church. It's been a long time since I became pastor of that little country church called Morris Chapel Baptist Church and got some water colors and a little paintbrush and painted my name on the sign, Morris Chapel Baptist Church, Jack Hiles, pastor, with a long hand, and then had my picture taken beside the sign. It's been a long time since my pastor laid his hands on me that Sunday afternoon when I was ordained. Been many a battle. And sometimes, as I said a while ago, I'd like to get an honorable discharge, but there's no discharge, the Bible says, from this war. And you're not going to ever have it. As long as you live, you've got the battle to fight. I mean, you live in next door to the Edomites. They're right next door. What is it tonight that's nipping at your heels across the border? Huh? In what area of your life are you too close to the border? Huh? In what part of your life are you living right there where the Edomites, one little stumble and one little slip, they can reach across the border and grasp you? In what area is it? It's been a long time since I walked in the auditorium over here. 27 years, almost 3 months ago, preached my first sermon as pastor of this church. It's been a long time, over a quarter of a century, well over. And for these years, every kind of weapon has been launched against this old church that could be launched. But the church marches on. But if we get the victory, it'll be by trusting in the one coming from Edom with a regal walk and a royal air and his own blood dripped upon his vesture. He is the victor. And young people, if you walk down this aisle someday, as every young lady ought to do, you hear me. Every young lady in this room tonight who's old enough to know that the word wrong means bad and the word right means good, you ought to have as your goal in your life to walk down that aisle wearing that white dress representing your virginity and your purity. When that young man extends his arm to you and I say, "Who gives?" or some other preacher says, "Who giveth this woman in marriage?" And he extends his arm and you put your arm in his and your father says, "Her mother and I do." You ought to be able to look at that young man and say, "I saved myself for you." That's all we want. Nobody's got a bunch of rules we're trying to push off on you. We just don't want you to be captured by the Edomites, that's all. Young man, you ought to have as your goal. When you extend that arm, you ought to say to her, "This is a clean arm. Hasn't hugged every old girl in school. Saved it for you." And I'll just go a step further and you go ahead and call me whatever you want to call me and just put me under whatever file you want to put me under. I still believe it with all of my soul, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I still think your first kiss ought to be at the altar. I said, teenagers, in case you're not listening, I said your first kiss ought to be at the altar. Did you hear what I said? You're not going to peck around on every girl in school and walk to the altar not captured by the Edomites. That's what this church is here for. If it ever ceases to be here for that purpose, I'll walk out the door. Trying to keep you from the border. Trying to keep you from the border. A lot of you at the border looking over into Hollywood every night. Some of you females at the border of Edom every afternoon. Watching. Listen. Some of you old timers remember Gone with the Wind? Do you remember how awful we thought it was because at the end Clark Gable said, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a..." Oswan Boulder. "I don't give a damn," he said. Do you remember how shocked this nation was? The word damn used in a movie. Any old timers remember the movie and the book Forever Amber? It'd be a Sunday school quarterly now. How do you know? You thought you had the victory. I mean, I'm saying, a nation was shocked. Some of us can recall when even in the movies, if a couple was depicting a a bedroom scene, they had to be twin beds. That was a law, that was a rule of the land. Now then, you watch a bunch of people not married to each other crawl in bed time and time again. And I'm going to tell you ladies something. Every one of you that watches that garbage ought to be right here at this altar when the service ends tonight on your knees asking God for forgiveness. I don't see anything. Oh, shut up. You know better than that. You still see something wrong with it. If your own daughter did what you're watching somebody else's daughter do, you'd be shocked beyond measure. Stay away from Edom. I didn't say stay out of Edom. I said stay away from Edom. Don't get close to the borders of Edom. Don't get close. They're there, and they're after you. I'll be honest with you. I can understand why preachers dip their sails. I speak at Southwide Fellowship every year, half our years. One preacher said, I don't care if Hiles ever comes again. We don't need to pay him to fly down here to tell us to get a haircut. Isn't that strange? Of all the things I'll say in a sermon, that's all he understood. Yeah. Isn't that strange? What use for the house? You think you've got to have these white wall haircuts? No, we've got some black walls here too. I mean, the white wall's a little bit better quality, but I mean... I'm sure that if we can stay away from the border, we'll never stumble over it. And if you stay 3 steps from the border and stumble, you'll still be 2 steps from the border. If you stay right next to the border and stumble, you'll be across the border. Edomites are after you. He said, I'll tell you what, I get so tired of all that old preaching. You're going to get tired of it. Yeah. I mean, the older I get, the harder it is to read. I can't study anymore. All I can do is preach against all this stuff over and over again. I can't see. Yeah. I see 2 things here that we ought to stand all the time for. Number one, stay away from the border. Number two, get your power from the one that's coming with the blood upon his vesture. Father, bless.